I know when I've talked to so many entrepreneurs, what overcomes the risk? What keeps them going when they get a rejection of some kind? What helps them overcome the challenges? It's their...
That is Amy Collins. She is the co-founder of the Beignet Fest with her husband. What she's talking about right there, well, every single entrepreneur faces challenges every day and they keep coming. She shares how to overcome those challenges, whether you're starting a business, whether you're starting a festival. And what a cool festival. And there's a purpose behind this festival. Any parent will appreciate any parent because there's a cause behind this festival that she's going to reveal in this show. And there's over 50 kinds of beignets. Who knew? This episode, warning, is going to make you very hungry. Now, my name is Yule Smith. I am the host of the CloseTheDeal.com podcast. Now, let's begin the show. Amy, I want to welcome you to the CloseTheDeal.com podcast. As a local New Orleanian, I've got to ask you this. And we're coming on the heels of another event. I'll bring that up in a second. But I asked the same question. I'm curious to see what your answer is. What is your favorite place to take a client or whoever it is you're trying to do business with? Where do you take them to do business and hopefully close the deal?
So, Yule, thank you for having me. My favorite place to close the deal has to be Ralph's.
Oh.
I like Ralph's. I like the atmosphere. And I think they do a really nice job. It's a fine dining experience, yet they get you in and out. Mm-hmm. And I just really like it. And so I feel like I can do business there.
So for anybody from out of town listening to this, is Ralph Brennan is the owner of Ralph's on the Park. And he's one of the iconic Brennan family members. And they do everything she just said is spot on. They do a phenomenal job. And it overlooks New Orleans City Park, which is beautiful, a beautiful place to be in the city of New Orleans.
Yeah.
All right. My favorite question. What are you grateful for today or from the past? Who or what are you grateful for that helped you get you where you are today?
So I'm most grateful for my parents in mm-hmm. getting me where I am today. Mm-hmm. They provided a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. And as a parent myself now, I respect tremendously the room they gave me mm-hmm. to grow into myself as a young adult, but also the structure they provided me so that I was on solid footing when I started to take advantage of that independence and freedom that they provided. Mm-hmm. Beautiful combination. And I look back and I think about all the things that I feel most passionate and most strongly about and the values, and they all came from my parents.
What?
I can remember speeches at the dinner table. And I don't know that happens as much today as it does or as it did when I was growing up. And so I'm super, super grateful for them. I make sure they know it. And I try to emulate what they did for me with my kids.
And you know, that time around the dinner table, it was forgotten times with a lot of families getting around the dinner table every day at the same time. And it's not. And maybe it's not even a life lesson that's trying to be taught. It's just caught because of the conversation, how they handled themselves.
Yeah. And social media and phones today make it so hard. We had the Channel 4 news on here in New Orleans. That was the thing to do at dinner time. But I can remember my mom turning the sound off while we ate. Things like that, just little things. But there's so much competition for our attention today. And our lives are just jammed with activity. Mm-hmm. And media mm-hmm. and ways to be in contact with other people beyond just the people you're sitting in front of.
Yep.
It's hard. Yeah. I'm really grateful for our parents and the structure, yet the freedom they provided. It was great.
That's fantastic. All right. You saw a problem or an opportunity in the marketplace and you took a huge leap of faith to do this. On top of everything else you do, running a PR agency. What was that? What was the opportunity that you saw, a glaring opportunity?
So I have to give the credit for the idea to my husband. Mm-hmm. But together we developed the Beignet Festival. And here in New Orleans, it's become a premier fall festival. Celebrates, of course, the iconic beignet. And the opportunity we saw was threefold. One is we were parents of a newly diagnosed toddler with autism. And there were gaps in services and programs for children with autism here in New Orleans that we wanted to try and fix and help. So that was the first opportunity. Number two, my husband said one day, you realize that the beignet has never had its own festival? And that's like saying the lobster in Maine hasn't had its own festival.
No kidding.
Peach in Georgia. And so that was another opportunity we saw. And then the third thing was my husband was at a crossroads in his career, and it was a chance to get back to what he had done as a young professional in marketing and producing events. And so we put all of that together and did what any couple in New Orleans who goes to Jazz Fest every day would do. We created a festival out of nowhere, and it's become something that 10 to 12,000 people attend on one day in the fall. And this year we have 50 different kinds of beignets, and we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for nonprofit programs that serve children and families with autism. And we're 6 years in, minus 2 years of the pandemic, but we were on. Yeah.
Now, starting a festival on top of your day job, that's a lot of work. What are some of the challenges for somebody who said, you know what, I'm going to start a festival? Because we have another friend in the PR industry who just started a festival, and yours is one heels of that one is the coffee festival. And that was a something that had never happened in New Orleans, which is, or in the United States for that matter. So these are two amazing new festivals for a market that was never served. What are some of the challenges? And I'm watching him go through some of his challenges. We're recording this before his happens, and I know what he's going through.
Yeah.
Somebody's considering this. What are some of the challenges you faced, and maybe share some of the ways to get started?
Yeah, sure. So the first challenge is funding. With any entrepreneur, you got to go find your startup capital. And with a festival, and especially one for a nonprofit foundation, we first look to corporate sponsors. Both my husband and I had the advantage of, you know, getting degrees in the field and having past experience in producing marketing events. And I had a fairly extensive nonprofit background, having run an organization after Hurricane Katrina that had a festival itself. And so knew the game. And I had relationships I could go to and say, hey, give us $10,000, $25,000 based on an idea. I did make my husband write a business plan, which I took around and got the funding based on. So we did all the things you would do for any startup. And in that regard, that's a key to success, is getting corporate sponsorships to underwrite the cost of producing the festival. Festivals are expensive. People don't realize how expensive. And so to maximize your bottom line, you've got to optimize your funding from corporate sponsors, and then you've got to get gate proceeds, get admission fees. And there are other revenue sources, but those are the main two that you've got to make sure you're capitalizing on.
Let me pop in here for a second. This episode is being brought to you by Franchise and Funding. And if you've ever considered starting a business, it's a lot like starting a festival. It's challenging. And without systems and processes and a support system around you, you kind of don't know what to do because it's so many things to figure out. Well, when you're looking at investing into a franchise, you get those systems, you get those processes, you get the community around you to help ensure and increase your odds of success. So if you've got that itch to start a business, considering your first franchise, go to yourfirstfranchise.com, yourfirstfranchise.com. Now let's get back to this.
Another challenge is that we created an outdoor event in South Louisiana during hurricane season. Are we crazy? We're crazy. And you know,
roll the dice.
Yeah, you have to roll the dice. You have to take the risk. You have to have a backup plan in terms of a backup date, which actually our second year, or maybe our third year, we had to move because of a tropical storm. We had to move the date. And so we moved from that first Saturday in October that year to the first Saturday in December. And we saw a drop off in attendance because we had been marketing this thing for October. And so we quickly pivoted and the city helped, but that tropical storm was no fun. So that's another challenge. And I guess one of the things, and this is universal to starting any business, is you have to know what your unique selling point is. And for us, we had an iconic item that had never been celebrated before. We recognized a business trend that beignets and all their different forms were proliferating restaurant menus across Southeast Louisiana. And so you weren't just talking about a fried donut square with powdered sugar. You were talking about seafood stuffed. You were talking about a hamburger beignet that really is a sandwich with beignets as the bun. You were talking about stuffed cheese and
making me
things and beignet fries. There's a thing as such as they're just shaped differently and they're crispy, but they're delicious with crawfish etouffee over them. Mm-hmm. So there were all kinds of things. So we knew that we also knew this is an interesting tidbit. Beyonce's picture of her eating beignets was the most Instagrammed picture in the world in the year we started, 2016.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so when we heard that, we thought, okay, we'll never have Beyonce perform. That would be amazing. But we can capitalize on the enthusiasm for beignets.
Yeah.
And it is unsurpassed. Everywhere we go, people love to tell their story of eating beignets. And so finding your unique selling point, I think, is another critical piece of starting a festival, but obviously as starting any business.
And anybody, again, for people listening outside New Orleans, beignet, if you haven't been to New Orleans, the beignet is you have to do it. You have to find there's some iconic places. What are the iconic places you would go to, tell people to go to?
Of course, Cafe Du Monde started it all. Mm-hmm. And they're still there in the quarter, and they have some locations in the suburbs. And then you have, of course, Cafe Beignet now, which has been around for a couple decades in the quarter as well. And they give Cafe Du Monde a run for their money, and they're really good. And so those are the traditional beignet places. Of course, Morning Call was a place that the locals know, again, for traditional beignets. But then there are people like Loretta's. Loretta's started as a praline company, but became famous for her take on beignets by being a Jazz Fest vendor. And then to subsequently headlined our festival since we started. And she has things like praline stuffed beignets, chocolate beignets, a crab meat beignet that is out of this world. I will stand in line for 20 minutes for that. It's like a jumbo lump crab meat salad.
Oh my gosh.
On a beignet. She's the one with the beignet burger as well. And of course, Miss Loretta passed on, God rest her soul, but her son has carried on the business. He's amazing. The business is amazing. So those are some of the icons. Of course, there are 50 different kinds of beignets and 23 different vendors at Beignet Fest this year.
And the humble beignet is no longer so humble, except for the original one. And so my very first date ever as a kid in high school, sophomore year in high school, where did we go? We went to Morning Call.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. It's a great, iconic place. And they have.
We had what I call beignet battles where everybody's blowing the powder on each other.
That's great.
All right. Great. If somebody would think about the idea of starting a festival, what would you tell them? What if you had to offer a suggestion or two, what would you tell them? Having been through this.
It takes a lot of hard work. It takes some risk. I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. My husband is definitely put on that. And for us, it has taken passion to work through the challenges. And that passion comes from the mission. So I don't even know if I said before, the opportunity with our newly diagnosed child on the autism spectrum was that we could raise money for the programs that we saw that were lacking. And we funded summer camps and we funded extracurricular activities. And when the times are tough or when you miss that sponsorship deal or a global pandemic hits and you can't have your festival for 2 years, it's the passion for the cause that keeps us going. Yep. And I know when I talk to so many entrepreneurs, what overcomes the risk? What keeps them going when they get a rejection of some kind? What helps them overcome the challenges? It's their passion for their idea and their passion for what they want to do. And yeah. If you want to start a festival, make sure you're passionate about either what the festival's about or the cause behind it, or both.
Yes. And for you, it's certainly personal, and it's going to help a lot of parents as well, so they can better understand the issues. And then, of course, you can help people in return, which is, that's God's work. Tell us about the festival. What's happening? You mentioned you have 50 vendors. Is that right?
So 23 vendors, 50 different kinds of beignets,
gotcha. Okay.
80 different menu items. So there are other things there besides beignets, fried chicken, red beans and rice, jambalaya, the youth.
Yes.
And then music, live local entertainment all day. We have some very popular local bands like Flow Tribe, Flat Boy Giz. We have a local family band that used to be on Disney called the Imagination Movers for families. We have one of the largest kids villages in any festival that I know of, because that's our mission, of course, is to serve children, all children. And so it's very sensory friendly and inclusive. We work with Children's Hospital of New Orleans to design the kids village. And so clinical experts have taken into account children with sensory processing disorder, children on the spectrum, and children with other developmental disabilities are able to come and be a part of it. And we also have, of course, a beer garden and an artist market. What would be a festival without those things?
Absolutely.
It's all one day at New Orleans City Park at the festival grounds on Saturday, September 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And where do people, do they buy tickets at the gate, or can they go online? What's the website?
Sure. So you can do both. You can buy tickets in advance online at beignetfest.com.
Okay.
And then you can also get them at the gate. Now, one thing is tickets prices go up on the day of the festival. So you want people to buy tickets in advance. And that way they don't have to stand in line to buy them at the gate. We have VIP tickets and we have general admission tickets, and kids 12 and under are free for general admission, because again, we want to make it as inclusive and family friendly as possible.
And how do you spell beignet? So those from Beignet Festival.
I should have said in my tips for how do you start a festival, learn to spell the name of the thing you're celebrating. So that took us a while, but it's B-E-I-G-N-E-T.
Fest.com. Fantastic. Amy, I wish you all tremendous success. I will see you all out there. And folks, join us. If you're in town, make sure to check out the Beignet Fest. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap with Amy Collins. I hope to see you at the Beignet Fest, and all for a terrific cause. And Amy and her husband have done such a phenomenal job. And she shared her passion for this. She shared the real mission behind this. And that is what keeps us powered when we're serving others. And she does it at an extraordinary level and took on a lot of risk to do this. And that is how you power through those risks, when you find that purpose larger than yourself. Now, I hope to see you there at the fest, the Beignet Fest. And I'm glad you're here, part of the closethedeal.com community. I appreciate you being part of it. We look forward to seeing you at the next episode. Now, you know the drill. Be intentional and make it a great day.